чем будем говорить.
Три года назад там в храме не было брахмачари, почти ну, два один.
About 3 years back, we didn't have any brahmacharis at the temple. Maybe one.
Через эти три года их ну, появилось и как бы этот круг людей, а такого поддержателя, ну что кто-то вдохновил, это у нас как и нету. Они сами эту идею выработали, хотели получить даршан, ну как бы.
After 3 years, the brahmacharis appeared. We didn't have a main person who is supporting or inspiring them. That was their own ideas to become brahmacharis and to live together.
И мистер Жемос, мы в зимнем фестивале были у Бхакти Чайтанья с вами. Он дал наставление, благословил, поговорил об этом. И ну как бы мы как бы такой, может быть, новый этап хотим пройти по этому.
During the winter festival, they went to Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj and he was speaking, talking with them, inspiring, supporting them. And so we want to advance some kind of new level of maintaining this ashram.
What now?
They want a kind of like, they are thinking about how to maintain or how to develop this ashram and so on. So they want to deeper their understanding of this field.
Okay. Disasha meaning the Brahmacharya.
Brahmacharya.
И я дальше передал, могу передать, чтобы не было этих наций. Это он старший, как бы. Это он больше всех работает с молодежью. И как бы есть это сердце, ну, пока, что он на его вся молодежь держится.
And this devotee,
Sankirtana
Prabhu, he is the main, the senior brahmacharya in the ashram. He is supporting and training all other brahmacharis, and he will talk now. He can introduce them.
Like this Bhaktivedanta Swami, you will see as Shri Prabhupada representative, and we're just trying to develop our ashram and trying to preach. And we just had an idea to meet you and Bhaktivedanta Swami to get some support and get some shelter and some guidance how we can improve and what we should strive for. And just this was my idea of this.
Okay.
You're going to introduce the devotees to me? Did you say you were going to introduce him?
Yeah. Oh, okay, this is Vasika Mangala Prabhu. And this is Dainis Prabhu, Justas.
What is it?
Justas, Raghavendra, and Denise. Mm-hmm. Also, we have three more, they can't come this time. And we now have plans to make new brahmacharis want to come. So we have plan to make more systematic teaching, like in next next autumn. We will start program for new brahmacharis will come in 8 months program like. So now we're collecting who want to come during this program. And you will make more systematic way for new brahmacharis.
Systematic means?
It means we have some
courses.
Some courses, like then different brahmacharis come different times, quite hard. But we decide to fix one time, then all can come in one time, and we have to go classes and giving some how to do this, how to do that, and all this 8 months for them, and then they can think what they want to do. We just need time to do this, and maybe we will go.
Okay. So you want some advice and some blessings. All right. Well, since I was a brahmachari for how many years? I have to think back. I guess I was brahmachari for 13 years before I took sannyas. I can speak from my own experience. How I survived as a brahmachari. Because survival is an important word. When you look around you and you see the numbers of people who didn't survive. First of all, is don't be proud of your renunciation. That's the biggest danger of all, is to be attached to being renounced. Because if you're attached to your brahmachari status, attached to the so-called being renunciation, then it's just the opposite. It will just lead to pride, and it will lead to offenses towards those who became householders. And you know, you'll think that because you're a brahmachari and they're householders, that you're more advanced or superior to them, which is very dangerous. You won't survive if you think like that. I've seen some of the devotees make that mistake in their neophyte stage of devotional service. They become proud of their what they appears to them as being their full-time engagement in book distribution. And when they look at householders and look at the minimal opportunities they have to serve, they think they're better because they're serving more full-time than householders. But they fail to see how householders are struggling behind all of that, and despite all those struggles, they're still doing some service, which makes them very qualified. And that's very dangerous, to think you're more qualified because you're more fully engaged than they are. And that will probably lead towards your own marriage or fall down, whatever the case may be. So these are words of caution. Oh, the tendency is to think because I'm a book distributor and because we hear so many quotes about Prabhupada, about the importance of book distribution and how he considered it to be so important, then we start thinking, I must be so important, probably more important than everybody else because I'm distributing books and what are they doing? That's another cause for fall down. So never compare yourself to others in a superior platform, but always think yourself as a servant of others. And especially, you should develop good relations with each other, because that will give you strength. Prabhupada gives the example that if you take a single piece of straw, it's easy to break. But if you put them together in a bunch, it's much more difficult. So if all of you associate and genuinely relish each other's association for the service that you're doing in distributing books, and respect is a very important word for survival also. Very important. It cannot be diminished. You have to respect the service of others' devotees. You'll be safe. You'll be protected. You'll be inspired because you'll be properly motivated to distribute books, not because it brings you recognition, because it brings pleasure to Prabhupada and your spiritual master. That's the best satisfaction to get from the service, not because it brings you recognition. If you become motivated for recognition, you'll be another, what do you call it, flash in the pan. That's, in English, it's flash in the pan. Is there something equivalent in Russian? Yeah. In other words, you make it for a few years. Prabhupada said, make it your lifetime plans for distributing these books. So, if you maintain the proper attitude and avoid pride and motivate yourself to distribute books that please Prabhupada and Vaishnavas, and remain humble, you'll have a long life of book distribution, and you may be able to stay brahmacharis and actually wear saffron because you deserve it and not because you're attached to it. Is that good?
Can I ask you? How much should brahmacharya give time for reading Prabhupada?
How much should they give or get?
Get.
I mean, I'm just wondering whose choice is the is it the brahmacharya's choice or is it the authority's choice? Which line of questioning?
Yeah, my question is how much he should...
You should get as much as you can get. So, I mean, as far as how much time that should be specifically, that really depends on the way your days are organized. You're talking about for personal, private reading? Private reading? I mean, if you have good organized reading together... I mean, I was... traveling Sankirtan for years. And I was... Question? Huh? No. And we always read together. We had classes. I did class every morning, 365 days a year. with same devotees, I gave a class. We'd read then we would read together. In the afternoon, we'd all get together and we'd read Bhagavad Gita, share reading and share realizations. It wasn't a class for Bhagavad Gita reading. And then we'd always read together at night. And devotees took private reading time on Sankirtan time, depending about how long they needed it, because we distributed usually from about 10 hours a day. So I don't know how many hours a day you distributed. We distributed 10 hours a day. On weekends, we distributed 14 hours. So we took a little private time for inspiration during the day, maybe about a half hour. But most of it, we read together. It just created a closer bond. I remember I had the same devotees in my party for... it would sometimes change, but we'd always meet the same people every day, in and out, for at least a year at a time. But we read together every day. And we did that for about, that was at least an hour, our readings together. And then additional class But again, our days started, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning and ended at 10 o'clock tonight, at night. You know, we're just together all day. So, I don't know what kind of standard there is. You know, I know some things are a little bit different now than they used to be back then. As far as amount of time, I'm not saying that has to be that much time out of book distribution, but I'm explaining that's those circumstances that I distributed books in. We were out on book distribution at least 10 hours a day but when we were traveling. When we were distributing books from the temple, it was less because we used to clean the temple before we go out on book distribution. That's another thing also. Most brahmacharis think, well, I'm a book distributor, I can't do anything like clean. But it wasn't like that when Prabhupada was present. Nobody thought like that. Thinking yourself to be lower than the straw on the street. Devoid of all for us prestige and ready to offer all respect to others. You have to practice it. You really have to practice. And the best way to avoid it is by appreciating others' service and glorifying the service of other devotees. And looking for every opportunity to glorify or to give credit to others for anything that you do. You have to practice it. Because really, if you do anything good, it's on somebody else's credit. We should think like that. If I do anything good, it's a credit of... I've seen devotees, the way for instance, when I get together with different council groups or something like that, especially in Radha Gopinath Temple, as soon as you glorify the devotee, say something about it, immediately they'll always just say, well, if I wouldn't be able because of him, like what he does, they're always giving credit to somebody else. And when you hear them, you believe it. Because it's so convincing. It's not pretentious, it's so convincing. They just train to think that way. To give credit to somebody else. They say, I would have never been able to do my service if this devotee didn't preach to me and encourage me, and if this devotee didn't teach by his example, and if this devotee didn't assist in all the things that he does to make my service so that it's so much easier to do. I would never be able to do this. Credit doesn't go to me, it goes to them. You practice it by thinking that way. And then gradually, because you're thinking that way, you're speaking that way, then you'll really start becoming convinced. But if you don't, if you spend all your time thinking about, I look how much I'm doing and how little they're doing. your attitude reflect that in your dealings with others. You'll become very much absorbed in yourself, and you'll feel your relationships with the devotees becoming negatively influenced. You feel more isolated because you're just thinking of, I'm just better than everybody else. Nobody else's association is good enough for me. I need to go someplace else. I can't find anybody's association is good enough for me. It's dangerous. So dangerous. Yeah.
And if a devotee is doing some activity, which
anybody recording this?
Yes.
I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Like which?
No, I'm not to you. I was thinking maybe I should post it on my website.
If I knew, I would took it, you know, to have the Russian
translator.
I can send. Okay. Alright.
If a devotee is doing some activity which puts his pride up, and he's feeling that he can do this like a service or something like that, but he also feels that he under some circumstances in our early stages we can control the pride, and if we are doing some service or other things, the pride naturally goes up, and if we can't control it, should we avoid that service or activity, or should we continue on doing it?
Should you avoid the service that makes you proud?
not the service, but the activity or something like. Yes. What makes you proud? Should we stop doing it?
It's not the service that makes you proud. It's your false ego.
Yes.
You'll be proud of washing. You'll be proud of washing the toilets if you've got a big false ego. You'll be thinking, boy, nobody else will do this service. I'm so humble. you'll become proud of your humility if you got a big false ego.
Yes, but for example, you give the example of book distribution.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, that Prabhupada very liked when the word is distributed.
Yes, I did give that example because it's real easy to pull out quotes from Prabhupada.
So I mean that in that way. Should we avoid that activity which makes us proud or what?
No, you should pray to become free from pride. Very intensely. If you think that you're going to be free from pride simply because you don't do that service, this is an anartha. It's very deep-rooted. It's going to come out some other place. You know, it's like pushing down a bubble. It may go down, but it's going to pop up someplace else. You know, it's some other place. So it's not the service. You know. It's realizing you have an anartha. And that's part of the battle, is at least recognizing that you have an anartha. Most people can't even recognize it. They start thinking it's natural to feel like I'm better than everybody else. But at least if you can recognize it's an anartha and see it for what it is, then you'll be all the more attentive to avoid displaying pride, and you'll have a real good reason to pray when you're chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna, please remove me from this pride. That's what bhakti yoga is all about. It's cleaning away our impure motivations. So I would say no, it's not that you should avoid doing the service that brings out the pride. You should appreciate what it does to help you to pray, to become free from that pride. I remember once the GBC, I was book distributor, and in our temple there was two brahmachari sankirtan leaders. I was one, and then my god brother was the other one. And the GBC approached me and said, I think you should think about becoming the temple president. And I said to him, I can't stop distributing books. I have to stay out. I have to distribute books. You know, it's so pleasing to Prabhupada. Can't you find somebody else who would be the president so I can continue distributing books? And I kind of took a bit that position. Nothing happened. And then a few weeks later, he asked the other Sankirtan leader to be the temple president. And when he asked the other Sankirtan leader, the other Sankirtan leader just surrendered. He became the temple president. And I remember, I was so envious. I was thinking, he asked me first to be the temple president. And now he's my authority. But he asked me first. And my mind was obsessed. I was thinking, I could have been the temple president if I would have surrendered. And now he's the temple president. And I have to be answerable to him. Before, we were just both Sankirtan leaders. And now he's... And my mind, every day I was obsessed with it. My mind was just destroying me. And I remember, like, I was hating myself for thinking that way. And I was chanting it in the morning. I would start crying. I was literally crying. Why should I feel this envy in my heart? And Krishna, please, get rid of it. Get rid of it. I don't want to feel this way towards my God, but we were so close, second time. Now I'm envious of him because he's the president. And I'm thinking I should have been the president. And it went on that way for like weeks. And then all of a sudden one day it's just like, I don't know what happens. It's Krishna just plucked it right out of my heart. Just plucked it. It's just gone. I felt like, the whole universe was lifted from my shoulders. And then I had my relationship with, and what happened shortly after this was another. This is funny. If I should tell the story. Yeah, I'll tell the story. It's a good story. While I was on he became the temple president. I was the Sankirtan leader. And when I was on traveling Sankirtan leader, I tore the cartilage in my knee. Meniscus, tore. And I couldn't walk. So I just couldn't walk. I was literally, I had crutches, and it was really hard for me to walk on crutches. And the doctor said, you probably won't need surgery, but you really have to stay off your leg for, I think they said, for at least a month or something like that. And then, the temple president, my god brother, who was the other Sankirtan leader, said, why don't you distribute books in a wheelchair? And I said, but I have to distribute books in parking lots. How am I going to get around a parking lot in a wheelchair? He said, well, Bhaktitita does it. Bhaktitita was my god brother, who had no foot. Okay. And he distributed in a wheelchair all the time because he had no foot. He ripped his foot off in a motorcycle accident before he became a devotee. So I said, well, that's Bhaktitita. He has no foot. He said, what's the difference? went out, I rented a wheelchair, and I would go out and I couldn't do it. And I just brought the wheelchair back and I came back to the temple. No, I didn't do that. I tried going out on crutches and I couldn't do it. Crutches. I couldn't do it. So he kept on saying, he said, look, the temple is really, you know, having a difficult time. It's difficult for us to not have your sankirtan collections. Just do what you can, go out in the wheelchair. And I just was in my, I was remembered that Krishna had freed me from this, you know, this envy I had towards him, and I really wanted to, previously when he became the temple president, I really wanted to try surrendering. So it took me a few days, and finally I said to him, can you sign this check? And the check was for me to go get the wheelchair. Because in my mind, I finally surrendered to get the wheelchair. And he just looked at me, and he embraced me. And he said, I wish I could be as surrendered as you are. And you know, like, just everything just went away from my heart. You know, like, and I went out and distributed books in the wheelchair. You know, it's just, it was tough, it was difficult. But it's because I felt that Krishna had just taken all that envy and all that from that chanting, that every day and praying, Krishna, please, you know, take this envy out of my heart that I was able to do. And my relationship, even to this day, is close with this devotee. Anyways, this is just the story of just, you know, like praying and chanting to get free from pride and envy. And Krishna really helps. You know, it's like if you see that you have this pride, then don't just run away from it. You'll carry it with you wherever you go. No, you've got to just pray intensely, tears in your eyes. Krishna, you know, this is such a evil quality. Rip it out of my heart. Even if it's painful, take it out, get rid of it. I can't do it myself. Krishna helps. Boy, it was tough distributing wheelchair. Bhakti Tita, right? You know, because he had his foot missing. We were distributing at Christmas time. It's a funny story. And he used to distribute in downtown, tons of people. And because he was sitting down all the time, he couldn't put his donations in his pocket. So he kept a little bucket. And when he distributed books and then put the money in the bucket and keep it on his lap. And one day, he was working so hard, he fell asleep. And he woke up, and the bucket was filled with money. No, I'm not telling you to go out in wheelchairs. He usually worked really hard. He distributed books 365 days a year. Every day. He never took a day off for about, I think, it was at least 6 years. He never took a day off for books. Until Tamal Krishna Maharaj called him and asked him to come and help him with the China preaching, because he was Chinese.
когда вам Кришна Нарайана попросил приехать в Тамачину с какой-нибудь в Китай, потому что он был сам китайцем.
Remember some of these stories that just popped into my mind. Anyways, I think we got to talk too, right? Okay, is that right?
Maybe a few words. What should be our main focus on what things?
On what things?
Yeah.
The main focus on what things? I thought I just talked about things to focus on. Maybe be more specific. Or what to distribute books? Or for becoming free from anarthas? Or for becoming a good devotee? Or developing love for Krishna? Or what? I mean. What are you asking? Main focus about what?
Just
staying brahmacharis?
As you already mentioned, while we're making our service, what our activities should be focused on, which things?
And stop with engagement.
As I understand, it means cleaning our heart and preaching.
Focus should be on serving. Actually, just praying to Krishna that you always remain in a humble service attitude. That should be your focus. That's the best survival formula. It's just pray for service and always remain in a humble service attitude. Never think yourself to be superior than others. Offer respect to others. And I remember Prabhupada was giving a lecture once, and one man in the audience was, Prabhupada was talking about the superior position of the Brahmins in society. And one envious man was saying, well, why do you think you're sitting on that chair? Why do you think you're superior to all those flowers in the elevated seat? You think you're Brahmin, you're better than everybody else? You think you're a first class man? Prabhupada says, no, I'm not first class man. I'm fifth class man. Because I'm the servant of the four classes. What's Prabhupada? He actually completely disempowered the man. Completely diffused all his arguments, probably just very humbly said, I'm not first class, I'm fifth class. He felt that way. He always felt he was a servant, everybody's servant. It's the safest platform. Therefore, Prabhupada could easily become everybody's master because he always thought of himself as everybody's servant. In the most elevated position. At his feet, all masters sit. Because he felt to be everybody's servant. That's the elevated position, not the next. Well, that should be your focus.
They like to have a photo together with you.
Okay. What should I do? Can you get everybody? You have need a wine with water.
Yeah, I'll try. It's a big glue, we got glue.
Can you get it?
Yeah. So, на счет три. Раз, два, три.
Три раза. This is for the other brahmacharis.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you for coming.
We will try to serve you.
Remember those instructions, and I'll be satisfied.
If you forget, we have a copy.
But right now, maybe we should take it, yeah?
Наш разговор не будем записывать.